Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends, we're going to take a look at the topic of Thanksgiving, specifically Deuteronomy chapter 8, but first a story. Dear friends, Martin Rinkert must have had a Thanksgiving list. He must have. Pastor Martin Rinkert wrote the hymn that you just sang, "Now Thank We All Our God." How many of you have heard of Martin Rinkert before? Nobody. Martin Rinkert lived during the time of the Pilgrims, dated to about the date of about, you can read it actually in the bulletin and the credits for the song. He pastored mainly in that decade of the Pilgrims in the 1630s. At that time, the Pilgrims were somewhat fortunate, you could say, in that they were able to flee persecution in England, cross over the Atlantic Ocean, and find their way to New England, I guess you could say, in the United States. Martin Rinkert wasn't so lucky, you might say, wasn't so blessed. He stayed in Germany and served in a village, and war broke out. The 30-year war broke out. It was a very difficult time period. Rinkert stayed in the village that he served as pastor for, the same village for about 30 years is what's thought to be. War broke out, and because of the village that he served, because it had walls around the outside, peasants and those who were living in rural settings flooded into the village to live, to stay free from the invading armies that were coming their way, and you can imagine how that worked out. Sanitation facilities weren't so great. Medical supplies were very limited. The little amount of food and water that was available became contaminated quickly, and plague broke out in the 1630s. In 1637, in that particular year, in this little village, 8,000 people died. 1637. Martin Rinkert, it's believed, officiated 4,000 funerals in his career. And on one day in 1637, he conducted 50 funerals. During that year, 1637, that's where that hymn was written. "Now thank we all our God." Whoa! "With hearts and hands and voices, who wondrous things have done, in whom the world rejoices." How did he do that? How? He had a list. That's my belief. He had a list of things that were a blessing to him. Hearts, hands, voices. Listen to the lyrics of that hymn again. Powerful. And I think it's striking to hear that story for us today, because we don't see a lot of examples of that. People giving thanksgiving for the challenging circumstances that we are in. But also for another reason. We're not so good at writing lists of the things that we have. We're really good at writing lists of the things that we don't have. Can you relate to that? I don't have enough money. If I did, man, I'd be so much happier in life. I don't have the job that I want. Boy, if I got that job, boy, I'd live with purpose and resolve for the rest of my life. I don't have the health that I thought that I'd have. If I did have that health, boy, I'd conquer all things. We write lists that are oftentimes filled with what we actually don't have. Now, as we take a look at Deuteronomy chapter 8 and transition to the Bible reading for this morning, that's actually, this reading is typically given for Thanksgiving Day. As we take a look at this, without reading the text, you might think that the Israelites are going to list a whole bunch of things that they don't have in this moment. Why do I say that? I say that because this is a moment of transition, right here. Critical moment. For 40 years, they had been wandering in the wilderness all alone without really knowing what would come the next day. And now in this moment, they're looking ahead to the promised land. For 40 years, they had been led by one generation in Moses. Now ahead of them was a new generation and Joshua. Deuteronomy 8 is a moment of reflection. And you might think they might write a list of all the things that they didn't have over the last 40 years. Here's one list that they could write. Well, we didn't have fish and cucumbers and melons and garlic. Why would I say those things? Numbers chapter 11, verse 5 says that they had all those delicacies back in Egypt 40 years ago. In the last 40 years, they didn't have those items. Now, you might think that they might list things like a home. See, back in Egypt, they were slaves, but they lived in homes that they could count on. For the last 40 years, they've been pitching tents and going from location to location. They might list a bad education system. See, for 40 years, they're teaching their kids as best they could on the run. Back in Egypt, that was an advanced education system. Moses, we must remember, got a great education under Pharaoh's daughter.